Prologue, The Descent. Nuevo Horizonte, Peru, The Cliffs. The sky fractured. A vein of fire tore through the heavens, a streak of molten gold carving the twilight apart. At first, there was silence. An eerie pause before the world shuddered. Then, the impact. Not with an explosion, not with the raw violence of a meteor strike, but with something far worse. A silence so absolute, it swallowed all sound. The waves did not crash. The wind did not whisper. Even the distant jungle, usually alive with the chatter of birds and insects, fell mute. Then, the tremor hit. Dr. Elena Ramirez felt it in her bones before it even reached the land. A deep, rolling force, not from the ground, but from the sea. It surged upward, a pulse, a shockwave that had no right to exist. The cliffs beneath her shifted, their ancient stone trembling as if they, too, could sense what had just happened. The Pacific was wrong. Elena stood frozen, watching the ocean below. She had come to the cliffs of Nuevo Horizonte for solitude, to escape the chaos of research stations and bureaucratic debates. But now, she found herself staring at a sight beyond all reason. The water had darkened to black, thick and heavy, as if oil had seeped through its depths. Yet within it, something glowed, a deep, pulsing light, not on the surface, but beneath it. It flickered like a beacon, veins of unnatural color weaving through the tides in an almost organic pattern. A sound followed, not a roar, not a crack of thunder, a hum. Low, vibrating, alive. A whisper in her teeth, a pressure behind her eyes. Not heard, felt. Behind her, a sharp inhale.
Dios mío.
Elena turned. Marco, the fisherman who often shared her solitude at the cliffs, stood motionless. His net lay forgotten at his feet, water still dripping from the tangled fibers. He was a man of the sea, a man who had spent his life reading the tides, knowing their moods. And yet, he looked afraid. His dark eyes remained locked on the water below, his breath coming shallow and unsteady. Elena. His voice was tight, strained. What is that? She didn't know. Her mind raced, grasping for rational explanations, a meteor, an atmospheric anomaly, volcanic activity. But the ocean didn't behave this way. It didn't shudder before an impact. It didn't pulse like something breathing. And it didn't hum. Marco took a step back. The sea. It's changing. His voice wavered, his hands, usually so steady, clenched into fists. The old stories.
No.
Elena's voice was firmer than she felt.
Don't.
She already knew what he was going to say. The legends. The myths whispered among the fishing villages for centuries. Tales of ancient things that slept beneath the waves, waiting for the right moment to wake. They weren't real.
They couldn't be.
Go back to the village, Marco, she said instead, her voice calmer now, forcing control. Tell them to stay away from the shore. He hesitated, staring at her, as if she were supposed to have answers, as if she were supposed to explain what the ocean itself refused to. Then, without another word, he turned and ran. Elena remained. Her body was telling her to follow him, to leave this place, but something deeper, a scientist's curiosity, a primal instinct, held her in place. The sea was speaking, and she was listening. Then the glow beneath the surface brightened. Elena's breath caught. For the briefest moment, the light moved, not like a current, not like turbulence, but like something shifting, something alive. And then the first wave hit. Nuevo Horizonte, Peru. The first wave. The world lurched. Elena barely had time to brace herself before the first wave slammed into the cliffs below. Not a breaker, not a surge, a force. The kind that ignored gravity, that didn't belong. The impact sent a deep, resonant tremor through the rock, and she lost her footing. She fell hard. her shoulder striking jagged stone. Pain exploded through her ribs, but she barely registered it. Above her, the sky had turned into a shattered mosaic of stormlight and rippling heat waves. The glow beneath the water grew brighter, casting an eerie phosphorescent light over the cliffs, over her hands as she scrambled for balance. The hum deepened. Elena's breath came in sharp, shallow gasps as she tried to steady herself, but the vibrations wouldn't stop. They weren't just in the ocean anymore. They were in the air, in her lungs, in her bones. Then the wave reversed. The water, all of it, withdrew. The Pacific Ocean pulled back, not in the rhythmic push-pull of a tide, but in a single, terrible exhalation. The blackened waves peeled away from the shore, revealing vast stretches of exposed seabed, the wet sand glistening like polished obsidian. Elena's stomach dropped. She had seen this before. Not like this, but in footage. 2004, the Indian Ocean. 2011, Fukushima. A tsunami. The thought barely formed before Marco's voice cut through the wind, distant but frantic.
Elena, corre.
She turned, saw him on the path below, his face ashen as he waved frantically.
Get away from the cliffs!
She didn't hesitate. Adrenaline took control.
Elena ran. Her legs screamed in protest as she bolted up the rocky incline, hands grasping at roots, at outcroppings, anything to pull herself higher. Gravity worked against her, but fear was stronger. Behind her, the ocean was still withdrawing, the exposed seabed now stretching kilometers into the horizon. It was coming.
She could feel it.
Then, the world roared. Elena looked back just once, just long enough to see the wave rise. A wall of black water, towering, shifting, alien. Not just liquid. It carried the pulse of something inside it. Something that watched. Something that knew. The hum peaked into something almost musical. A frequency that seemed to pull at her very existence, as if calling her toward it.
Her body rejected it.
She pushed forward, lungs burning, muscles failing, but the wave was faster. It hit. International Oceanic Observation Center, 5,000 miles away. Commander Malik Thompson had seen some weird shit in his time. He'd seen hurricanes form out of nothing. He'd seen trenches open up where the seafloor should have been stable. He'd seen entire islands disappear overnight. But this was different. Coordinates confirmed. The lead technician's voice was tight, too controlled. The screen before them flickered, displaying real-time satellite imaging of the South Pacific. Malik's eyes narrowed as he studied the data. Seismic activity off the charts. A disturbance radius expanding by the second. But it wasn't a normal tremor. The epicenter wasn't the ocean floor. It was moving.
Sir, reports are coming in from coastal regions. Mass receding of tides.
He didn't need the details. He knew the pattern. Tsunami event confirmed. Another technician. Projected impact radius. Jesus. Sir, this isn't regional. This is global. Malik exhaled slowly. Get me Nautilus command. Now. Nuevo Horizonte. The impact. Elena was drowning. Her body had been lifted, thrown, as if she weighed nothing at all.
The water was everywhere, filling her mouth, pressing against her ribs. The force of it should have broken her.
She kicked, pushed against the weight crushing her. But which way was up?
The glow was all around her now, flickering in the darkness like living veins, tracing patterns through the abyss. Then, something touched her ankle.
Her mind screamed.
She twisted, fighting the current, but something moved past her.
Not debris, not rock. Something alive. And then it spoke.
Not in words, not in sound. In thought. A pressure against her skull. A voice, vast and cold.
You are seen.
The glow intensified, illuminating the abyss.
And for the first time,
Eleanor saw what had risen from the deep.
She opened her mouth to scream.
Darkness swallowed her whole.
The abyss.
Eleanor's world had turned to darkness. Pressure wrapped around her, an ancient weight, crushing yet strangely weightless at the same time, suspended, drifting. The initial violence of the impact had passed, but she was still trapped beneath the surface, cocooned in the alien silence of the deep. No up, no down. Her lungs burned, her body screaming for oxygen, but her mind was locked on something else. The glow. It surrounded her now, not as scattered fragments of light, but as a presence, pulsing, moving, watching. The way it illuminated the water wasn't natural. It wasn't simple bioluminescence or reflected sunlight breaking through the depths. It was intentional. And she wasn't alone. Something shifted in the darkness. Elena's chest seized. Not debris. Not driftwood. Something alive. A shape, massive and indistinct, drifted just beyond the reach of the glow. The water was too dark, the pressure too great for her eyes to focus, but she felt it. A vast shadow against the abyss, a void within the void. And then, the voice.
It wasn't heard.
It was felt.
A pressure, an intrusive whisper in the base of her skull, threading into her thoughts like tendrils of ink in water.
You are seen. Her pulse spiked. The words weren't in any language she knew, yet she understood them completely. They weren't spoken. They were placed inside her.
Something vast and impossible had taken notice of her.
The glow around her brightened, and for the first time, she saw it. Her mind rebelled. It wasn't a single thing. It was many, shifting, writhing, a form too vast to comprehend. Veins of pulsing light traced through its body like a living neural network, forming patterns that changed as it moved.
And then, it reached for her.
The water trembled, a pulse of force, a change in pressure, something massive shifting. Elena tried to swim, but she was slow, limbs sluggish from exhaustion and shock. The glow intensified, the presence around her growing closer.
A single tendril of light extended toward her.
Her vision narrowed. Her heart stopped. Then, hands grabbed her. Real hands. Human.
A jerk. A sudden change in direction. And suddenly she was being dragged upward.
Something inside her screamed to look back.
To see it one last time.
But her lungs were empty, her vision blackening at the edges. And all she could do was let herself be pulled away. The Nautilus Research Station. 2 hours later. Eleanor woke to the rhythmic beep of a heart monitor. Cold air pressed against her damp skin. A sharp, clinical brightness burned against her closed eyelids. She gasped, her body lurching upright, as if she were still drowning.
Easy.
A voice. Calm. Controlled. Familiar.
Her breath hitched. Her mind racing to find context. She was in a medical bay, white walls, steel cabinets, the faint hum of machinery. A light overhead flickered. The air smelled of antiseptic and salt. And standing beside her, arms crossed, face unreadable, Commander Malik Thompson.
Elena, he said, his voice steady. You're safe.
She wasn't.
She knew it in her bones. She could still feel the hum, the glow, the thing beneath the ocean.
Elena, Thompson said again, sharper this time. What happened out there?
She opened her mouth, but the words wouldn't come. Not yet.
Not before she knew if she had really escaped.
Not before she knew if it was still watching. Nautilus Research Station, 2 hours after recovery. The hum did not stop. Elena sat on the edge of the medical bay's examination table, staring at the floor, at the thin lines of water trailing from her boots, at the tremble in her hands she couldn't quite suppress. But it wasn't just in her hands. It was in the station,
The hum.
Faint, subsonic, but there. She had spent enough time at sea, enough time studying deep-sea ecosystems, to know what should and shouldn't exist in the ocean. This sound, this frequency, it did not belong. Elena. She barely flinched when Commander Malik Thompson said her name again. He had been waiting, patient in that way military men were, still unreadable, watching her with sharp, measured intent. She could feel his stare, assessing, calculating.
"What happened?"
he asked. Her mind flashed back to the abyss, the glow, the pressure, the thing that had seen her. She swallowed.
"I was caught in the wave," she said, voice hoarse. "Pulled under."
Thompson's expression didn't change.
"And?"
Eleanor exhaled slowly.
"And I wasn't alone."
Silence.
The station hummed.
She looked up. Thompson's gaze hadn't shifted, but there was something in the way he studied her now, a slight narrowing of his eyes, a subtle shift in posture.
"Not alone?"
he echoed. "Elaborate." She hesitated. "Say it. Say what you saw." But what exactly had she seen?
It hadn't been a creature, not in any way she could describe. Not a fish, not a whale, not an intelligent being in the way humans categorized intelligence.
It had been awareness.
And the worst part, the part that lodged in the base of her skull, that pressed against her ribs like a sickness, was that it had been waiting.
Her hands clenched into fists on her lap.
"Something's down there," she finally said. "And it knows we're here." Nautilus Control Room, 1 hour later. The control room of Nautilus Research Station was a steel and glass fortress overlooking the ocean, reinforced against pressure shifts, high winds, and seismic tremors. But it was not built for this.
Sofia Petrov knew it the moment she stepped inside.
The room buzzed with low chatter, a dozen engineers and analysts hunched over consoles, but there was no usual controlled chaos of a deep-sea research mission. There was only unease.
"Status?" she said, heading for the primary analysis station.
Dr. Kaito Nakamura looked up from his screen, pushing his glasses higher up the bridge of his nose. His expression was unreadable. "You're going to want to see this." He tapped a command into his console, and the main screen flickered, showing a live feed of the ocean floor. Sophia frowned. She stopped. The ocean floor was wrong.
It wasn't just disturbed, it was reshaped.
Deep trenches that hadn't existed 24 hours ago now yawned open like wounds in the seabed. Strange formations, impossibly symmetrical structures, had risen in their place.
"This isn't possible," she murmured. "Neither is this."
Nakamura pressed another key.
The second monitor came alive.
Sound waves.
Not natural. Not random.
A pattern. Sophia's stomach turned.
"This isn't geological."
"No." Nakamura's voice was tight. "It's a signal."
"How?"
"The descent begins." The briefing lasted 20 minutes. Thompson's orders were clear. A team would go down, they would investigate, and they would confirm whether or not what lay beneath them was alive.
Elena sat in the Neptune submersible, heart hammering. Every instinct screamed at her not to do this.
But she had no choice. The hum was getting louder.
And it wasn't just coming from below.
It was inside the station now.
Inside the walls, inside her bones. And as the submersible disengaged from the Nautilus and began its slow descent into the black, she swore she heard something whispering her name. Neptune submersible, the first descent. Elena sat strapped into the co-pilot seat of the Neptune, watching as the depths swallowed them whole. The ocean above had already disappeared, the world outside the submersible's thick viewport reduced to blackness, punctuated by glowing specks of life.
Bioluminescent creatures flickered as they passed, some darting away, others lingering at the edges of the artificial light pouring from the sub's exterior. Her breath was too loud in the confined space.
1,000 meters.
Sofia Petrov sat to her right, her hands moving swiftly over the controls, recalibrating depth stabilizers. Across from them, Kaito Nakamura monitored the sonar, his eyes narrowed at the screen. And in the observer's seat behind them, Commander Malik Thompson. He had insisted on coming, not a request, a decision. Elena. She swallowed. Yeah? Anything familiar yet? She shook her head. We're not deep enough. 1,500 meters.
The sub creaked under the pressure. It wasn't abnormal, but it still sent a chill down her spine. Nakamura tapped the sonar screen.
We're getting strange returns.
Sophia's fingers flew over the controls.
Clarify strange.
He frowned.
We should be approaching a flat seabed based on existing terrain scans, but we're detecting vertical formations, almost symmetrical.
That same sick feeling coiled in Elena's stomach. The ocean wasn't supposed to change like this. And yet, it had. 2,000 meters.
A tremor vibrated through the hull.
Did anyone else?
Elena started. The lights flickered. Not a failure, not power fluctuation.
Something passed in front of them.
A shadow. A massive one.
Sophia exhaled sharply.
What the hell was that?
Nakamura's hands tightened around the console.
I don't know.
Elena?
Thompson's voice was calm, measured, but demanding.
She was staring into the black, trying to see what wasn't meant to be seen. She knew they were being watched. And then,
the hum changed. No longer distant, no longer a vibration in the deep.
It was all around them. And then something answered.
A low, resonant pulse swept through the water. So powerful the submersible's exterior lights flickered wildly, shorting out for half a second. Then they came back on, and the abyss wasn't empty anymore. 4,200 meters, the ocean floor. The first thing Elena saw was the glow. Not like before, not a pulse beneath the water, not scattered veins of flickering phosphorescence.
This was structured.
The ocean floor was covered in towering, interwoven formations, stretching far beyond what the external cameras could capture. Columns. Ridges. Something almost organic in design. But most disturbing of all, it was moving. The seabed itself shifted, the structures expanding and retracting in slow, deliberate motion, as if breathing. A city. A hive. A graveyard. Elena didn't know what to call it. She only knew one thing. It wasn't natural. Sophia's hands were shaking slightly as she steadied their position.
This is impossible.
Thompson's voice was sharp.
Get closer.
Sophia hesitated.
Sir.
Closer!
The sub descended. The hum grew louder. And then the structures reacted. Inside the anomaly. A pattern emerged. The glowing formations shifted, rearranging themselves like neurons firing in a massive, incomprehensible brain.
Commander, Nakamura said, voice tight with unease. I think we're inside something.
Thompson's gaze flicked to him.
What do you mean?
The sonar readings. These aren't random structures. They're connected. They're part of a larger system.
A pause. Then,
like a living organism?
The words came from Elena. Silence filled the cabin. Nakamura nodded slowly.
Yes.
Sophia exhaled.
Holy shit!
Thompson's voice was like iron. Scan for biological markers!
Sophia's hands moved quickly. The sensors worked fast, processing the molecular composition of the anomaly's structure. The screen flickered with chemical readouts. And then, the answer came.
Elena stared at the screen, at the biological data spilling onto the display.
Impossible, Nakamura whispered. The structure, the seabed, the entire dam anomaly.
It wasn't rock. It wasn't a city. It wasn't a ruin. It was flesh.
Living. Breathing. The entire ocean floor was alive. And then it saw them. The awakening. The hum changed again. Rhythmic, pulsing. Then the lights flickered.
Not an error.
Not interference. It was inside the sub. Elena's breath hitched. A sudden resonance in the hull. The walls vibrated, a low pressure pressing against them from all sides. Then the words came. Not spoken. Not in any language. Placed inside their minds. You have touched the veil. Elena's lungs locked.
You have woken what sleeps.
The ground beneath them shifted. Rising. No, not the ground. Something beneath the ground. Something unfurling. Something breaking free.
Surface, Thompson ordered, his voice cutting through the panic. Now.
Sophia's hands moved in a blur.
Powering thrusters!
The seabed cracked open, and then the abyss reached for them. The escape. A pulse of light. A shift in gravity. The sub lurched violently, sent tumbling as a massive tendril of flesh and energy erupted from below.
Sophia fought to stabilize the ship.
We have to go now. Thompson grabbed the radio.
Control, this is Neptune. Emergency ascent. Immediate evac. We are under attack.
No answer. The hum inside the ship intensified. Elena clenched her teeth.
It's interfering with comms!
The ground continued to shift. Massive formations rising, reshaping, entire miles of the seafloor turning over. Then, the scream. Not in the water. Not outside. Inside their heads.
A pressure so great, Elena thought her skull would split open.
And through it, a final message. The gate is open. Then, the sub rocketed upward. Surface. Nautilus Research Station. They breached the surface in violent upheaval, the waves churning as if rejecting them. The crew rushed to the retrieval deck, hauling the sub onto the station's platform. The moment the hatch opened, Elena stumbled out, falling to her knees. The others followed, gasping for air, their faces pale. Above them, the sky had changed. The hum had followed them. And in the distance, something was rising from the ocean.
Something vast.
Something waiting. And the world would never be the same.